Good morning. I could listen to that worship for a while longer, couldn't you?
Yes.
What a blessing. What a blessing. As you're turning in your Bibles to Mark 6, I'll just state the obvious here. Sometime when we weren't looking, summer ended. You notice that? What a scam, huh? Autumn is here. Some of you I know are enjoying a harvest from your garden. The race is on to see who's going to get stuck with that last zucchini, right? Cool of night. Going to start reaching into our days here before long. I noticed yesterday Pam and I were with one of our grandsons walking in a park, and the leaves on some of the trees are already changing color, falling to the ground. You look around you and you see this obvious thing that happens about once a year. Creation itself is preparing to rest from its labors. This is God's design. Do you realize that what God has designed in creation, a rhythm for rest, He insists upon in your life as well? You and I need a rhythm for rest in our lives. In fact, you are out of step with God's design when you ignore your need for rest. Me too. God Himself rested when His creative work ended. God Himself ordained that His people should rest on the Sabbath. In fact, the very word Sabbath means rest. In Mark's gospel, we have seen the imperative of rest even in the life of Jesus. Those of us who have a lifestyle of being just kind of crazy busy all the time, always tired, always frazzled, frustrated with fatigue, we need to hear this. The world's only perfect man, Jesus Christ, needed rest. And you can take that a step further. The world's only perfect man, Jesus, rested and still accomplished everything that the Father ordained for Him to accomplish to bring about your son. Began this. If you were here when we began this study in Mark, we saw all the way back in chapter 1 that Jesus personally withdrew from the harried pace of ministry, teaching, healing, casting out demons, the unending crowds of people in real need. Jesus routinely withdrew to be refreshed in His body and in His spirit. You see, even Jesus, tell me if you remember this one, even Jesus needed to get up and get away and get alone with God. Do you remember that? This was vital to His humanity, the very humanity through which He served us in His life, in His atoning death, and in His resurrection. This morning in Mark 6, friends, we're just going to see through the lens of Scripture Jesus' first disciples returning from their first solo mission as His ambassadors. And you remember how this went down. We read it 3 weeks ago, I think it was, that Jesus had sent His men out two by two, and they got very busy carrying on the mission of Jesus. They preached to everybody. People should repent. Who needs to repent? Everybody. Everybody. And they began to heal the sick, and they began to cast out demons in the name of and in the power of Jesus. They began to minister to the multitudes. And when they returned to Jesus, they were as exhausted as they were excited. And so Jesus tenderly says to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." In other words, your bodies need rest. Your minds need rest. Your emotions need rest. Your soul needs rest. Listen, living as ambassadors for Jesus involves spiritual warfare. Did you realize that? Living as ambassadors for Jesus involves the death of self. Living as ambassadors for Jesus involves other people. You throw all of those things together, and every once in a great while, Christ's ambassadors experience fatigue. We get tired. But let's just look at this. Jesus says, come aside and rest a while. Let's just look at this in context. Look at verse 30 of Mark 6. You ready? Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Jesus and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Here is the Lord Jesus teaching his disciples that they need margin in their lives if they are to function effectively as his ambassadors in the world. What do I mean by margin? Quite a few years ago, when I was in journalism broadcasting, I think I've shared it with you before, I thought it might be neat to go into TV news broadcasting. And at school, they told me that I had the perfect face for radio. And the thing of it is I that didn't seem interesting to me. So I went into newspapers, and I remember one of my first classes in journalism 101 for newspapers anyway. I remember an instructor holding up a newspaper page, and she said, "Do you see all the blank space on this page?" And we're all nodding our heads. And she, "Do you know why it's there?" "No." And she said, "You can't literally fill up every spot on that page with words and pictures and ads and all of this sort of thing, because your readers will go cross-eyed and crazy. They're not even going to know what to focus on." And so there is such a thing as a creative white space, she called it. Seemed like it was more like off-white space, but margin deliberately placed there for the purpose of effectiveness. And do you realize that you and I need margin in life? Space that's available purposefully if we're to have the right focus. We need financial margin, for example. It is not blesses you to literally spend every dime that the Lord blesses you to have come in. We need emotional margin. Moms with kids still at home, you can testify here, right? You cannot give out more for very long than you have coming in. But we need mental margin. The mind just gets tired. And I see that look on some of your faces. Your minds are tired. But in all seriousness, the more tired the mind is, the less effective it is, and the less disciplined it is. How many of you realize that so many of the addictions that people struggle with are a means of escape from this kind of mental and emotional fatigue? We need physical margin. Sleep. Not at church, but at other times, sleep. And most certainly we need spiritual margin. We need rest for our souls. And Jesus is instructing his disciples after they've just gone out on this exciting, joy-filled experience of serving in his power. Hey, don't forget, you're going to need some rest too if you're going to remain effective. And as a church family, let's just think about an application. Sean just announced in the nitty-gritty details of how we operate here. Pastor Sean just announced all kinds of wonderful opportunities for ministries and things that you could participate in. But do you realize that just like autumn started before we thought about it, somewhere along the lines, before we really thought about it, this no longer was the little church where everybody just showed up for everything. If you're still trying to do that, you're going to exhaust yourself. Don't try to do that. You'll harm yourself. As important as kingdom work is, and as satisfying as it is, as joyful as it is, it also can be strenuous and can be tiring. And so if we're effective, to be effective, we need margin. Listen, how many of you know that without rest, our worship will be cold and mechanical? Does anybody here know the reality of just kind of going through the motions? Without rest, our service for the Lord, our service for one another can become unfeeling, insincere. We don't want to do that. Is rest. At times, the most spiritual, God-honoring thing you can do is rest. That's why Jesus says to his fellows, hey, come aside by yourselves for a while. And rest. Now let's get more specific here, shall we? The apostles, these sent ones, have just returned from mission number one. This is the first time they have gone out on their own as Jesus' ambassadors. They've been called by him. They had been sent by him. They have been empowered by him to further the work that he had begun. And remember, that's what it is to follow Jesus. That is true for us today. You have been called, if you're a Christian. You have been sent in the name of Jesus. You are being empowered by him to bring the kingdom of God to your part of the world, wherever that happens to be. Whatever the context is, that's why you're there. Christians are not academics who simply study Jesus. No, they're followers. We follow his command to move toward other people as those called by him, them by him, empowered by him to bring them the gospel and to serve them. Have you heard this before? You see, the gospel, according to Jesus, is fairly blunt in that respect. The gospel, according to Jesus, is that there's no such thing as a Christian who isn't actually following him. In other words, if we're not fishing for men, we're not following him. If we're not serving other people, we're not serving him. And then Mark in his gospel, after he gives us the account of the apostles being sent out two by two, he kind of sandwiches in here the account of the beheading of John the Baptist. Why is that there, do you suppose, in that particular place? Could it be to show that following Jesus, functioning as one of his ambassadors, may not be the easiest thing you got going on in your life? It might be difficult. It might be costly. It cost John the Baptist in the ultimate sense. Anyway, the 12 have now done this. They've gone out in ministry, in service. And there happened what we heard of how that first trip went. What exactly happened? What we do know is this. They had been students listening to Jesus, watching him, learning from him. Now they're actually in the game themselves. Let me ask you something. Are you in the game yourself? They now know what any ambassador for Jesus knows, and that is that living as one of Christ's ambassadors involves strenuous labor for him. Gospel learning, friends, can be done in spare time with little effort. Gospel living is all-consuming, and it is sometimes tiring. Look at verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Some of your Bibles say the apostles returned to Jesus. You and I need to make a regular habit of returning to Jesus, not positionally, but relationally. There should be a rhythm in your life as one of Christ's disciples to Jesus, a functioning ambassador for the kingdom, to be always returning to Jesus relationally for the purpose of rest, for the purpose of refreshment of soul. Let me ask you something. Does the rhythm of your life include regular times of returning to Jesus in this way? Do you take time out of your busyness, all the other stuff that's going on, to just to be alone with him? To speak with him, that's prayer. To hear from him, that's taking in his word. And you realize no one else can do that for you. Sunday school teachers, home flock leaders. Listen, you cannot impart to God's people what you have not received from Jesus yourself. Is returning to Jesus part of the rhythm of rest in your life? Jesus says to his disciples, I see about your experience, and I see the joy, and I've heard what you've told me about your experience. Come over here and rest. Notice also in verse 30, the apostles told, some of your Bibles say reported, they reported to Jesus all the things that they had done and what they had taught. In other words, they poured out their hearts to the one who had sent them. They were reporting to Jesus. Jesus says, well, what happened? Well, I proclaimed your gospel to this person over here. And I was amazed that your power was present somehow as I ministered to this other person over there. I'm not really sure if I did this thing right. I wish I knew a little bit more, had a little bit more enablement to do this other thing. It's all being poured out to Jesus, not because he needs the information, but because he cares and has what is necessary to supply the ambassador with what is needful for the next trip out. And friends, this returning to and reporting to Jesus is the difference between abiding in Christ and performance. Jesus is Christ. How many of you realize that in the strictest sense, Jesus is not calling you to perform for him? He calls us to abide in him. Abide in me, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And here it is in Mark 6. It's happening in real time. The disciples return to Jesus. The disciples report to Jesus. This is the rhythm of rest that will develop in their ministry as Christ's ambassadors. Reporting to Jesus, by the way, acknowledges that he is our master. I have a good friend, and so I won't name him, but some of you will know him by what he says. He always says, God's in charge. He reminds me that several times a day. God's in charge. And then he says, every once in a while, I just say, God, you're in charge. What do you want me to do? This is a wonderful, if not slightly weird, way of living out this reality that we constantly need to return to and report to Jesus. You see, he's not put me here to survive. I hope your petitions to the Lord go way beyond mere survival or just to... He has not put you here just to get by or just to enjoy... Lord, help me just have a better day today. No, he's put you here to advance the kingdom of God under his leadership. And so this reporting to Jesus is to be asking in his hearing, in the quiet of your heart, how am I doing with that? It's to disciples who are abiding in this intensely practical sense, an active sense, that Jesus says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Why? Look at the next words. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. These guys are now crazy busy, just as Jesus had been crazy busy. And if there's a takeaway for us, it might be this. You cannot get involved in serving other people and not experience some demands on your time and energy and emotions. And can you relate to this? You can if you're involved in the lives of other people. And then you look in the mirror and you say, good heavens, I'm... So please... So please don't read verse 31 and think that these poor disciples had to miss lunch one day. And yes, I hope they brought a snack. I hope somebody brought, you know, like Cracker Jacks or something. That's not what this is talking about. The verb tense suggests that this had become the normative thing for them. On an ongoing basis, they are struggling to even find time to take in their meals. That is the press of demand in their ministry. And then Jesus says, the most tender thing, look guys, at some point that has to be put on hold a bit. You need to return to me. You need to report to me. All of that is to do with resting with me, getting refreshed by me. That's the rhythm for rest that you and I need in our lives. Returning, reporting, resting. When I say resting with Jesus, you might be thinking, well, what would be the alternative? Well, let me just give you a quick example. It is a sad thing in our day that for many Christians, we equate rest with skipping Sunday church services, with leaving fellowship at home while on vacation, unplugging from fellowship with other believers. It's just playtime. Rest for an awful lot of people simply means self-indulgence. Please understand that that is not what Jesus is talking about when he says, come aside to me and rest a while. You see, we're not meant to take a break from Jesus to engage worldly things. Are you hearing this? We are meant to take a break with Jesus from worldly pressures and concerns, that we might be more fully refreshed in our relationship with him and supplied with what is needful for what he already knows is around the corner. How many of you have had the experience of having in your quiet time of prayer and meditation on the Word of God the experience of receiving from our generous Lord exactly what you needed for that day? And one person has experienced that. Okay. So you don't have to listen to the rest of this message, all right? But the rest of you, ask her about it after the service. Dear Savior, we worry so much about the future. Do you realize your Savior is already at the future? He owns your future. And he offers to provide for you what is needful for what he already knows you're going to face and in fact is sending you straight into. There's always the danger of these things being practical. What is the rhythm of rest for ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Returning to Jesus, reporting to Jesus, resting with Jesus. Alexander McLaren, the Scottish preacher, puts it this way. He says, without much communion with Jesus, effort for him tends to become mechanical and to lose the elevation of motive and the suppression of self, which give it all its power. That is one reason why there is so much sowing and so little reaping in Christian work today. Now, that was well over 100 years ago. McLaren is one of these old dead guys that really bless us if we read the work that the Lord has done through them. Without rest, we will lose our effectiveness for the Lord. Now, let me just stop up and acknowledge, we're not done, so don't get all excited just yet. But let me just stop and acknowledge the elephant in the room. We should always do that. For some of us, this might all seem terribly academic. What is this? All of the words are going to start with R? I think I got it. Maybe some of us can relate to this. You know, when I speak of serving the Lord, functioning as an ambassador, I'm not referring to showing up for Bible studies and soaking in truth. That's important. That's part of our rest. I'm speaking more specifically about living out that truth that we've been soaking in the real difficult arena of life, your home, your classroom, your business, your neighborhood, your relationships with other people who are just as messed up as you are. These disciples are now going to be active. They are proclaiming the gospel to real people. They are offering themselves in service to real people. The gospel life for them is no longer theory. Is that true for you? Some of these guys, seasoned fishermen, these guys know all about work, toil, fatigue, being worn down. That's not the kind of tired Jesus is concerned about here. This is a different kind of tired, because it reaches into their very souls. Kingdom work has a way of doing that. To be an ambassador for Jesus is to do combat with the forces of evil. And it is often physically, mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually draining. Let me just encourage you. Do you mind being encouraged? You all look very beat down right now. You know, one of the many things I love about Hayden Bible Church, there's an awful lot, but I just love the reality that so many of you are very much engaged in kingdom work, either here, I don't just mean church work, but you're involved at Open Arms, or you're ministering at the county jail, or you're prayerfully bringing the gospel to your neighbors. You're serving in the context of your business as a light for Jesus. And so this church, understand what I'm talking about. And I love the reality that this church, by God's grace, isn't saddled with too many spectators. I mean, can we just be real for a minute? I love that, because a church that is saddled with too many spectators who, frankly, don't need the kind of rest we're dealing with here in Scripture, that church is not going to be very effective in bringing the kingdom of God to our part of the world. Do you realize that we don't need more people who can point out what didn't work, what could have been done, how the doers might have done just a little bit better? And if you're one of those folks, let me just say, we love you desperately, but knock it off. We don't need that. That's not what we're called to here. Get in the game. Stop watching. Start serving. It is an unspeakable joy to serve our King. It is an unspeakable joy to see the work of our Savior in the lives of real people. Messed up emotions saved. Hurts healed. Messed up emotions brought into order. This is a work of the Spirit of God. And one of the great mysteries of the church is that He uses imperfect, redeemed people like us to be a part of that. What a joy that is. And if you're holding back because of fear, you're saying, you know what? I stepped out once in that direction and I got my beak bent really bad and I just can't. Listen, I understand. There are disappointments in kingdom work, are there not? But let me tell you something. Can you guess what is worse than an occasional disappointment in ministry? No. All right, never mind. What's worse is to be a passive, bored Christian who knows neither victory nor defeat because she is not engaging the mission of her master. So Jesus here, when He speaks of rest, He's not talking just generically to people who are tired. You may be tired, but you're tired for reasons utterly disconnected from you don't know of God. That's not what He's talking about. You don't need to get into the boat with the Lord for rest. He's been trying to push you out of the boat for years. Invest your life in something that's eternal. The disciples returned to Jesus. They reported to Jesus. They rested with Jesus. Look at verse 32. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. What boat? Well, it's not a cruise ship. Remember, it's just the same fishing boat that they had been using to get from here to there. The same fishing boat that was used as sort of a floating pulpit or a platform when the crowds got big along the lake shore. The location of the rest is not the issue. It's a fishing boat. I know a man who takes his lunch break out in his car with his Bible, and he has an hour-long reprieve from the work that he has, and he just refuels his body with food, obviously, but he refuels his mind with the Word of God in prayer. And every once in a while, he sings. And every once in a while, that looks really weird to people who park next to him. But, you know, I don't think that's the point. Going to rest. When Jesus said, rest a while, look at verse 33. How long were they going to rest? But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Jesus and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. This is like, you know, an elementary school teacher, and she's preparing to go on this long-awaited vacation. And every kid in her class says, how wonderful, we're going there too. And we're going to be there the same week you're going to be there with all of our family. These guys had no idea when Jesus said, come and rest a while, how short would a while be? Apparently just as long as the boat ride. And that's how life is sometimes, isn't it? And do you realize that that's why you and I need spiritual margin in our lives? Because the unexpected comes, doesn't it? The unplanned comes. You didn't have it on your calendar. And you weren't thinking ahead to create a space for that demand. The disciples were going to have to learn how to handle it. Wasn't that success of an instance? And their first run at it wasn't that successful, because we are entering into Mark's account of the feeding of the thousands. Do you remember this? The loaves and the fishes? Do you realize that the context for this is the disciples are bone tired? And finally, after the multitudes follow them around and Jesus has been teaching for a while, they do something really spiritual. Jesus, send them away. Let them go get their own food. Send them to McDonald's or something. I mean, can you imagine how that story would be different if Jesus himself had said, hey, you know, we're trying to get some rest here. No. He says, no, guys, look, some of my sheep are here. They're in need of a shepherd. We're going to get busy serving them. And I'm going to show you that even when you're tired, if I redirect you, I will provide exactly what is needed for what I'm redirecting you to. That's the context for the disciples in the loaves and fishes. Let me ask you this. Do you have enough margin in your life so that you can be redirected by Jesus? End with this. Do it. Let's end with this. So many of you, dear ones, are tireless in your service for the Lord. And I just want to tell you how much your example is appreciated and valued. And I just want to speak to your heart what the Lord has been speaking to my own heart as I look at this passage. Is it possible that in your life you need to get back into this rhythm for rest? This habit of returning to Jesus and reporting to Jesus, resting with Jesus. Let's just bow our hearts together before I close us in prayer. You don't need to look around for this last bit. You know, it's very possible that there may be someone here. You're in need of the ultimate rest. You need to rest from all of the labors you've been doing to try to justify yourself before God. Do you realize that our Savior's call to rest in this sense we've been speaking today is an echo? I'm trusting in rest. That you need the rest that comes only from trusting in the finished work of Christ for you. Father, we thank you so much for this little diversion in your word that shows us you training your disciples to rest, to trust in you, to be energized by you, to enjoy fellowship with you. Lord, let that be our story. Let that be our discipline, our habit, and our enjoyment. And Lord, if there's anyone here apart from you, apart from your saving grace, Lord, I pray that you would direct that heart to the amazing reality that you have done every work necessary to redeem us. We pray this, Jesus, for your name's sake.